From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Redwood City.
Belmont.
Midtown. San Jose.
19th Avenue. San Francisco.
San Mateo.
Sunnyvale.
Excelsior District of San Francisco.
Financial District.
Coming up, we'll visit the waiting room.
Sometimes people get dropped off at the front door of the hospital, and the ED doctors have to roll them through the waiting room. So it's a wild place.
Scenes from the front lines of emergency care.
It's not ideal, but we're a public hospital. We're the safety net in society. We're an institution of last resort for so many people.
We'll talk healthcare and poverty with the director of a new documentary about Oakland's Highland Hospital.
It is an incredibly loud and bustling environment that almost resembles the United Nations.
That's coming up on Cross Currents. One effect of the recession is many people's inability to afford health care. And when people aren't insured, they bring their medical problems to the only place required to take them, the public hospital emergency room.
So, go ahead and call it.
Yes.
Time of death?
That is
2016.
You get an age on this kid?
Oh, yeah.
Tanya?
15.
15? Jesus Christ.
In Oakland, the emergency room is at Highland Hospital. The documentary The Waiting Room takes us into the lobby and behind the scenes with the doctors, nurses, and patients who spend their hours there. I spoke with director Pete Nix and asked him to give us a snapshot of Highland.
The waiting room at Highland is, if you come there on a Monday morning at about 7 a.m., it is an incredibly loud and bustling environment that almost resembles the United Nations. It's a waiting room that serves a community of mostly uninsured patients who come from all over the world. It's an incredibly diverse population, both ethnically and also in terms of class. And it can be loud. It can because it's also the community's trauma center. It can be energized by these traumas that come in, whether it's a gunshot victim or whether it's somebody who's been in a car accident. And sometimes people get dropped off at the front door of the hospital, and the ED doctors have to roll them through the waiting room. So it's a wild place.
It is, and that really comes across in your film, The Waiting Room. But the other thing that really comes across is this chasm between the people who are waiting to get care and the triage center, right, that's trying to get the people in the waiting room through the center, but yet you've got the traumas coming in through the ambulance system, and they get first priority.
Right, and that's one of the things that we wanted to try to show the audience how the system worked. You know, originally the film ostensibly was a film about the uninsured, and fairly quickly we realized that the waiting room was just a place where so much manifested in terms of not just the hospital system itself, but our entire society at this moment in time when the economy is pushing people into public hospital waiting rooms that have never been there before. And we realized that it was kind of a universal experience, and we wanted to tell the story in a way that could give additional information to people who thought they knew how hospitals worked. And we it's one of those things where you think, oh, this is obvious.
Deep breath. So you guys hear that 150 blood pressure?
Oh, there we go.
Good. You're waking up a little.
When we get the ring down from the paramedics that a trauma is on the way, literally 12 to 15 people stop whatever they're doing to focus on this one trauma. If several traumas roll in at the same time, that has a huge impact on the rest of the waiting room. People with legitimately serious illnesses get bumped over and over and over again for the trauma service.
Okay. Can we get a chest tube?
And that is the trauma center at Highlands Hospital. You're hearing the triage kind of contemplation. And one of the doctors that's featured in the film, The Waiting Room, and the filmmaker is here with us, Pete Nix. Pete, tell us about that system.
What people don't understand when they're sitting in the waiting room is that this is a hospital that has a lot of other responsibilities beyond just their taking care of them. And so when traumas come in, it creates a backlog in the waiting room. And that whole system sort of connects And people are frustrated and they don't understand and they're angry. And what's happened in public hospitals like this, like Highland, is that people are using the emergency room waiting room as their primary care physician because they don't have insurance, they don't have anywhere else to go. And that creates this sort of duality. It's also the trauma center and they have to deal with all the traumas. And so we wanted to show that piece of the system.
And it must be excruciating for the doctors and nurses that are dealing with this.
Well, they're frustrated because they're trying really hard, and it's been sort of described by some of the doctors because the hospital does kind of have a combat feel to it at times, that sort of hamburger hill, that just when, you know, you've contained the enemy, a fresh wave comes over the hill. And they work really hard to control the flow of patients in the hospital, and just when they're achieving a success, something happens that's beyond their control, whether it's a car accident or in East Oakland, you get a lot of, gunshot wounds coming through there. And so those take a tremendous amount of resources away from, you know, dealing with and triaging people in the waiting room.
And that's Pete Nix. He's the documentary filmmaker of The Waiting Room, which is also an interactive storytelling project. One of the things that happened when you were filming this in 2010 is that you were really seeing the effects of the downturn. People who had a safety net, had health care, were suddenly turning to public hospitals as their last resort. So I'd like to hear from a gentleman who said he'd been about a year without a job and he was there with a sick daughter.
This is the first time I've gone almost a year without a job. I'm used to having those benefits, you know, that's how important a job is, to be able to have somebody look at her as soon as possible. And it just seems like a letdown. You have to just depend on somebody to help you out when you're not having the means to do it yourself the right way, you know. It's just so okay. I'm glad that there's a way to provide to help out, but I wish it would have been another way for me to do this.
That heart rate is really high.
And then she just starts pounding like we did.
Because she's full of fever, I can feel it. You got a whole radio.
So they're referring to this high fever that this little girl has, and her father is so frustrated because he feels the weight of his daughter's, you know, really escalating situation, and yet, you know, he doesn't have health care anymore. And he was saying, you know, it seemed like he felt guilty about it.
As a parent, it's incredibly frustrating and a fearful experience, and I think there's a sense of people feel down on themselves and they blame themselves. And I think you especially saw that in this particular father, as he was sort of watching helplessly, as the nurses were caring for his daughter. You knew that he didn't know what was going to happen. And there was that fear of what was going to happen.
And sort of that begging, please just help me.
Yeah.
Well, and so here's the thing that he doesn't see that we see in your film, The Waiting Room, which is that the doctors have to prioritize people coming in on ambulances, which includes some of these chronic cases that are sort of clogging the system, or that's what it looks like, chronic drug and alcohol abusers that are coming in for, you know, multiple times and get priority beds. So let's hear a little bit of that from this film, The Waiting Room, about Highlands Hospital.
You feeling any better?
No. It's tight. It's on my neck.
Your neck's hurting you?
I don't know if my lungs feel.
Say again?
My lungs feel bad.
Your lungs feel bad? Well, the chest x-ray looks fantastic.
I don't.
Yeah, no pneumonia, no broken ribs, no nothing. Huh. You're just washing out from the crack in your mouth. It sounds like a rough night. Your alcohol, it sounds like you had a lot of stuff on board last night. But your chest x-ray, your head CT both look fine. That's good.
So this is our gentleman that came in, found down. Apparently he doesn't take his medicines that would help him stay out of the hospital. He comes in, I mean, I'm just looking back, he's come in a dozen times this year. August, July, June, May, March, February. Alcohol levels positive, as well as amphetamines and cocaine.
That'll do it.
So he got the $1 million workup for a rough night out. He's basically been denied by his Pastor Boswell board and care. I've admitted him for increased work of breathing, but it's actually more of a social admission.
Nice, good job. Big deep breath through your mouth, okay?
We never know the right answer on this one. there are times I have to admit people to the hospital, keep them overnight, just as much for their social conditions as for their medical ones. It's not ideal, but we're a public hospital. We're the safety net in society. We're an institution of last resort for so many people.
And this is one of the big realities of public medicine in America, is that public hospitals, because they cannot turn anyone away, they have to deal with the most systemic and intractable problems of our society. You know, poverty, homelessness, drug addiction, violence. And they're trying to juggle all that with this reality, this colliding economic reality where people are coming in for their primary care. And so these are very tough choices to make. And if people sitting in the waiting room sort of understood this and saw people like this character right here, who's a drug addict and who's, he's called a frequent, they call him frequent flyers. And these are people that they know by name. These are people that have a long history and relationship with the hospital. And they can't turn them away. Someone who's coming in, who's doing everything right, taking care of their kids, just got laid off their job, has to sit and wait for 10 hours because of this guy who has a drug problem. That's a kind of tension. And that a lot of that happens behind the scenes, but it's one of the things that I think as a society we're struggling with, this question of how do we care for the people who are most in need. And so all of this kind of comes together in a place like Highland.
And that was what was so revealing about your film, The Waiting Room, was to be able to see this whole system in its entirety, you know, from both sides. And it seemed like if they had known in The Waiting Room, there would be a revolt on your hands.
Absolutely. And I think they part of the anger that bubbles up in The Waiting Room is not knowing what's going on. It seems like a big hospital. It seems like you guys have a lot of doctors running around. What's going on?
I've got a bullet in my leg.
Right. Right. And I think that's the other thing, is things like that character leading into the trauma that we heard earlier. He had a bullet in him, and it's a sort of run-of-the-mill kind of thing. And that's the other story of this community that is really hard for people to understand, is the things that we would imagine are dramatic events for this community are fairly typical. And so they're dealing with them on a fairly regular basis, as is the hospital.
That's Pete Nix. He's the documentary filmmaker of The Waiting Room, which is about Highland Hospital. And we'll hear more about the Alameda County Public Health System in a moment. You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. Now let's return to our conversation with Pete Nix, filmmaker of the documentary The Waiting Room, which is about Highland Hospital and the Alameda County Public Health System. Let's start by hearing from a man who still has a job but can't afford the health care he needs.
I've been laying carpet since 1974. I'm self-employed, but I work for Sherwin-Williams. I was making $350 a yard for about 30 years. It never went up. And my boss said, well, we have an influx of illegal immigrants down the street, and they're able to cut the prices way down and be real competitive. So guess what? We have to cut your wages. You want to work here, you got to take the wage cut. Ever since then, that's when I couldn't afford my mortgage anymore. I'm one of those people that my house is worth far less than I owe on it.
One of those people.
Yeah, DiVello, he was sort of the classic archetype in a lot of ways. That this is a guy that does still have his job, but is feeling the pressure from two ends, from the economy and from his medical situation. A lot of times these things are so intertwined that if you pull on one, there goes the other. And with Luan, he's got chronic back pain. It's connected to his job. He lays carpet. He wants to find out what's going on with him. And he can go into the waiting room and sit there for several hours to be told, well, there's not much we can do for you. We can give you some pain medication. If you want to go to the clinic, it's a several-month-long wait. And so that's, you know, very frustrating.
Let's hear more from him.
Down to zero right now in my checking account. I got about $80 in my pocket. And my daughter moved in with me 2 months ago. She's going to go through a divorce. She's got a year and a half child. So that's another 2 mouths to feed in the home. I don't know what else to do, really. I bought a few lotto tickets, but I did. Other than that, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep working, laying carpet. That's what I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to keep taking the pain pills. That's what I'm going to keep doing.
So, doctor's written for you for some Vicodin.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, DiVello, one of the things that, you know, I love about DiVello, and one of the things that attracted me to wanting to make this film was, despite really difficult situations, that the people that I met had this sort of optimism and this spirit about them that was really remarkable, that I think a lot of us would be pissed off and depressed and throwing the towel. But I think what it is, you know, this is a way of life that has... The issues that the community that relies on Highland are going through are issues that they've been going through for generations. And the community has a very deep relationship with Highland. And so there's this sort of respect and sense between the community and the caregivers that was really quite striking. And I think DiVello, to me, he didn't yell at anybody. He was clearly frustrated, but he knew he has a sense that they're doing the best that they can do, but there's a systemic issue behind it all that even the hospital doesn't have control over. And I think that's something that I think intuitively the community knows, because we did see, you know, these banter between the patients and the doctors that you think, if I was in that situation and they were telling me, you know, it's going to take 3 months just to see somebody about my back pain, I'd be pretty angry. So that was something that we were struck by.
Pete Nix is the documentary filmmaker of The Waiting Room, which is all about Highland Hospital and Alameda County Public Health. One of the things that surprised me, though, Pete, was the funding. I had assumed that if you didn't have any money, that this as a public health system as of last resort, that it wouldn't cost you. But there's this whole counter about paying for it. And some people can't get the medicine because they don't have the money to pay for it.
I think that's one of the things that may be a little surprising to people about the film is, and we did have a few scenes of people sort of meeting with what they call the financial counselor, and that's the moment
totally
of truth.
Totally surprised me.
That's the moment of truth where you've done your time, you've done your wait, whether it's 3 hours or whether it's 14 hours. You've seen the doctor, they've prescribed a medication, or they've prescribed a course of action, and then you go sit down and find out what the bill's going to be, because contrary to what some people might think, public hospitals are not always free. And it's basically a sliding scale. And so they evaluate your financial situation. Are you employed? What is your income? And they figure out whether you can pay. And if you have the means, then you're going to get a bill.
And how is this going to be changed? How is the public health system going to be affected by the healthcare reforms?
We don't know.
What do you think, though? You know more than I do.
Well, 2014 is when the major changes are going to take into effect. So one of the things that Highland is looking at is at the potential that a lot of the people who are coming through their hospital will have the option to go to a place like Kaiser or Summit. However, you know, if you compare a place like Highland Hospital, which has a team of translators, which can deal with everything from, you know, Tagalog to Grinya, to Spanish, to Russian, to Mandarin, these other hospitals don't have that sort of
capacity,
experience.
Yeah.
Well, the experience, cultural experience to deal with that, a community as diverse as that. And so, but the hospital is preparing for the chance that they could, that their patient population may change, because in 2014, those patients could have options, you know, to go elsewhere. So, but it's so complex that nobody quite knows what the impact is going to be. Are they going to gain patients? Are they going to lose patients? And so that's still, it really remains to be seen. Yeah.
And your film, The Waiting Room, focuses mostly on the patient experience, but we also get to meet some of the doctors and nurses. What's it like from their side of this? I mean, they must be experiencing so much stress and strain as well.
Well, if there's a star in the film, I think it's the CJ, Cynthia Johnson, who is she's a certified nurse assistant, and she's sort of the queen of the waiting room, and she's to some degree the conductor of the waiting room. And you come in, you see her, you get your vitals, and you tell your story, the first sort of bit of your story. And what we did was we spent time just sitting there with her, listening and observing these stories. And she has a remarkable ability to calm people down, to make them feel good, to put them in their place if they're acting up. And she's a very unique individual, but there are others like that throughout the waiting room and in the emergency department. You're dealing with people who are incredibly angry, who have lived very difficult lives, who are going through tremendous change in their lives, maybe because they just lost their job. And so they have to really talk to you as a person and not as a number. And I think she understands that.
Let's hear CJ in action.
Hey, guys. Come on, sit with me. You want to see the doctor today, huh? How long has it been since you had your diabetes medicine?
Like 2 days.
2 days? Why haven't you taken in 2 days?
But why weren't you here before you ran out,
sweet pumpkin pie? And you know you need your medicine to live. You tripping.
I am tripping.
You know it. You got to love yourself better than that, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. We got plenty of medicine here for you.
My dad even got on me this morning when I woke up. He said, "What you doing?" I say, "I'm getting dressed. I'm in the shower, getting dressed, and I'm going to the doctor." It's hitting so hard. My chest is killing me.
And the way you're walking in here, you know you need to have been here. There you go, baby. Now tell me your last name.
Esquivel.
Don't you spell it for me. I can spell. You know, I get hundreds of names a day, and I take pride in being able to spell every one of them, no matter from what country. You know I can't spell everything. I try. Okay, Mr. Esquivel. From what?
Gunshot wound.
Where was it? Where did it go in?
It came out. It went here. It came out of my mouth.
Wow, Mr. Carotid artery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss everything.
Do you give testimony to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. I got a plan for you.
When we first met CJ, we knew that we wanted to follow her because we felt that she really embodied the spirit of the institution. And this was just from me having spent, not only my wife works there, so I had a sort of intimate sort of feel for the place. And I'm not going to say every patient shares this sentiment. There's a lot of frustration, I think, with the hospital on a variety of levels. But what we did see and was very clear was that there was a remarkable commitment from the people all the way down to the front lines in the waiting room. And CJ really embodied that. And she understands that it's a relationship that this hospital has with this community. And she's from the community. She was born at the hospital. And so she sees people that she knows. She sees people that she's never met before. She sees people that speak other languages. And she's able to communicate. And I think that's part of, to some extent, what the film is about, that the illness, sort of this vulnerability that we all have, does bind us together as human beings. And that's something that you see in the waiting room, and the waiting room as sort of a metaphor. Everyone's waiting for something, whether it's the birth of their first child, or whether it's to get a job, or whether it's for their green card, or whether it's for a second chance in life. And she has this knack of connecting with people and making them feel better. And that's part of healthcare, that little moment of sitting down with a nurse. And we really wanted to share that because we think it's important. We're trying to communicate outward with our film that this healthcare thing that you hear about in the news and everybody's fighting about it, that at the very fundamental level, there's an important relationship between communities and these hospitals that make a difference.
And like you say, that's kind of the hero of the story. If there's a villain, though, it seems to be a broken system.
I think so. I mean,
it's a system that doesn't seem to be working very well for people.
We didn't know. We didn't know how the hospital was going to come out in this. And
but I don't think it's the hospital so much.
No. And in terms of us telling the story of this, people are stuck in the waiting room and they have to wait hours and hours for very basic care. And that does not seem on its face to make sense. And but what we wanted to try to show was that even though we didn't want to delve too deeply into the nitty-gritty of it, that this was sort of beyond the hospital's control, that they were struggling against forces that were beyond them, and we wanted to try to show that.
That's director Pete Nix speaking with me about his documentary, The Waiting Room. It recently won the Golden Gate Award for Bay Area Documentary Feature at the San Francisco International Film Festival. The Waiting Room premieres in the Bay Area on October 19th at Sundance Kabuki in San Francisco and Grand Lake in Oakland. For more information, visit our website. It's klw.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.